Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Time now to check in with former Chiefs wide receiver Danan Hughes, who drops by for his weekly visit.
Yeah, he does it every single Tuesday at this time. Brought to you by Mazarese Jewelry. Jewelry that's dazzled Kansas City for over 40 years. And Danan, at what point of that game did you believe the Chiefs were going to win?
I'd say after the first touchdown, after the kickoff return, right around there, I just felt like there was still the energy and the excitement, not just in the stadium, but on the sideline. When you watch that team, I mean, when it got up to 21, a stomach felt like it was queasy. Got up to 24, I was like, this cannot be happening. This cannot be happening in Arrowhead Stadium. And then when Mecole Hardman had the big return, you just kind of saw a resurgence of energy. And Patrick Mahomes just being the leader on that team. And I mean, I'm sure he slept very well that night because he left everything on the field emotionally and physically. And I just thought galvanizing the troops and Travis Kelce with the big catch after the drop early and, you know, flexing afterwards in the red zone, I just think that was like a culmination, like a volcano that was just kind of brewing that erupted at that time. And at that point, I kind of felt like, yeah, they had no chance.
You know, Danan, you played with Marty, and obviously he made some boneheaded decisions over the years that kind of hampered you guys as players. We won't mention the Gerbach-Gannon situation again. But what Bill O'Brien did,
I know.
Well, there's some young people who may not know the situation, right? But if you're on the team and your head coach is Bill O'Brien, and instead of having a play to go for it on fourth and one and kicking a field goal, which would have given you a 4-score lead, and then that fake punt, how much do you want to just absolutely destroy your head coach after the game for putting you in a position to not win?
Yeah, I'm frustrated as a player. Obviously, you know, just like we've talked about, this is not the luxury of the NBA and Major League Baseball where you have a series. It's one and done. And you have to be prepared for that moment. And if you're a player, all you hear about every single day is to not be surprised, to be prepared for the moment, to don't allow the moment to be too big for you. All of those different cliches. And at that point, not so much the fake punt. I thought the fake punt was a good call. It was predictable, but it was a good call. I mean, at that point of the field, if you're ever going to try a fake punt, usually it's in that area of the field. And what better time to do it than when you're up multiple scores and you're trying to keep a high-powered offense on the sideline? So I don't disagree with the call. But I think even Andy Reid alluded to it in his post-game press conference that it was a good call. So when the other coach says there was a good fake call, usually that means it was predictable.
Well, sometimes I don't buy what coaches say because they're all like in that fraternity trying to protect each other because he knew like people were coming after
I think
Bill
that
O'Brien.
Was a good football coach call because they really believe that they work on that stuff day in and day out, and that's they have to use those things at some point when it presents itself.
And let's face it, there was one person that was going to stop that play from not just being a first down, but probably being a 40-plus yard gain and probably in the red zone and them about to score again. And we just made the play. And anytime you have a fake field goal, fake punt, reverse or what have you, what you ask the player is you got to make one guy miss. You got to make one guy miss, and it's going to be a big play usually. So even if it was predictable, and Daniel Sorensen did an outstanding job sniffing it out and not just running to the sideline and trying to prevent a big play, but making a tackle to prevent the first down. That was huge. So I'm not going to knock O'Brien for that. I think the fact that he got caught off guard at fourth and one in the red zone, had to call a timeout and chose to kick a field goal, to me, showed the lack of preparation mentally at that moment. And that's exactly what you're coached to do and coached to be about on the field. So you would hope that your coaches would be able to match that.
Talking with Danan Hughes here on 610 Sports Radio, former Chiefs wide receiver. We get set now for the second consecutive AFC Championship game at Arrowhead Stadium. I mean, things have just absolutely worked out, from the Dolphins winning on the last day of the season to the Patriots losing to the Ravens losing. Like, everything has worked out for the Chiefs, except now we got to stop Derrick Henry, and that guy's been a beast since week 10 of this season. First and foremost to you, do you ever have to tackle somebody that big, man? Like what what's that like to try to bring somebody down of that size? Like, I want to call all these people who played against Earl Campbell back in the day and be like, what's it like trying to bring some dude down like that?
Yeah, it's definitely a tough task, and you got to make some business decisions in it, how you're going to go at him. But I read a clip of Ryan Clark, who's on ESPN, does a great job as an analyst on multiple shows. He made the reference of, I can't remember which running back it was, but he said he made a conscious effort before the game that he was going to go full speed on the first carry, go full speed it was Brandon Jacobs against the Giants. They say he's going to go full speed into Jacobs, whether he whiffed, went flying by like the Roadrunner, or knocked himself out. He was going to set the tone by that one opportunity. He said Jacobs ran differently the rest of that game. Now, that doesn't mean he's not going to be productive, but it means that if you can make him look or stutter just a little bit because somebody came in and lowered the boom on him, that will help us tremendously. But it is a load, and you got to make some business decisions. And the thing is, it's not so much about what he does in the first quarter. It's the fact that at around that time of day, it's probably going to be about 20 degrees, 18 degrees, and it's the fourth quarter. It's about 4:30, 5 o'clock local time. The sun has gone down, and now you have to tackle him for the fourth quarter. And if you ask any defensive player and pretty much any big back, they'll tell you, you just get tired of hitting him. And if they're going to give him the ball 25 times, that means you got 25 opportunities to have to bring him down. And those safeties that he outweighs, you just get tired of hitting. And so we have to be in a position where we take that aspect of the game away from them, jump out on points, and force the ball just to be played in Ryan Tannehill's hands. And to me, that's going to be the recipe for success.
Well, and I think too, Danan, which is what we talked about in the 6 o'clock hour this morning about the Chris Jones injury and why it's significant to get him back. I said it's significant to get him back for a couple of reasons, but one of them was that rotation ability that you have on your defensive line with him in there for that fourth quarter when guys are tired and Derrick Henry's heating up. You want to be able to rotate those guys on that defensive line, and not having Chris Jones could prevent you from doing that and cause some guys on the front line to be tired, and tired in the fourth quarter against Derrick Henry does not equal success.
Yeah, it's one thing to be in that front, that in the trenches, and somebody's pushing against you and you have leverage and you can move. But then when they continue to push against you all day long, and that's what that offensive line does. And if you talk to Will Shields or guys around town, former offensive linemen, they wake up hungry to run block. That's what they want to do. And even in the new age of spread offenses and so on, those guys still have the DNA of run blocking in their blood. So that's what they're going to come in. They know everybody in the country knows that they're going to run the ball and try to run the ball. And you have to have bodies, like you said, to rotate in, change up looks, just not be that force that continues to have 300-plus pound guys pushing them backwards and open up in a hole for a 247-pound guy to run full speed through. So, yeah. Having an assortment of big men up front to be able to rotate in is essential, and hopefully Chris Jones can be that guy. And also, he's one of our most athletic D linemen. So Ryan Tannehill is an elusive quarterback, athletic quarterback, and we can't just put the onus on Frank Clark to create a pass rush or containment.
We're talking with former Chief Danan Hughes. The collective we, I'm saying the entirety of us, were very, very fixated with whether or not last week's matchup mattered in a rematch. Whereas this week, it's a more recent matchup that's a rematch, yeah. But we don't seem to be as preoccupied about it. Why is that?
Well, if you look at last week, you can make the argument that this season, the worst game that the Chiefs played, you can make an argument was against the Texans back in week six. Penalty-wise, offense, defense, we lost in all three phases of the game. We allowed a quarterback to come in and beat us on our home turf. And even playing that bad, we only lost by 7 points. Well, going up down to Tennessee, that was the last loss we had before this streak. And we know exactly what they did. And Patrick Mahomes threw for over 400 yards on a bum knee. And we gave them points on a botched field goal that we could have made. And a fourth down, I believe it was fourth and two or fourth and three, where if we just get the first down, the game's over. All of those things happen, and we still only lose by 3 points. So, yeah, this team put 32, 35 points up against us, but we were hampered severely, and they're pretty one-dimensional. I think there was a concern last week in Deshaun Watson, his magic, what he did the week before in the wild card round. You were just concerned about it. But Ryan Tannehill probably is not going to be the guy that's going to beat you, especially if you get up by 20-plus points. I think it's a different vibe about it, and the fact that they were able to produce like they did yesterday, or 2 days ago, adds a little bit more confidence to the fan base and just the aura around this organization. It's time. It's the Chiefs' time. The Chiefs fans deserve it. They've been waiting patiently for decades for this opportunity, and we can't let it drop again.
So you predict the Chiefs are going to win on Sunday?
Absolutely. I thought the Chiefs were going to win last week. I was concerned when it got up to 21-0, but as soon as they got it to 7 points, or at least got that first touchdown on the board, I kind of felt much better. Mm-hmm. That's when my confidence wavered, but my confidence is still strong. This is the year for the Chiefs, 50 years since. And just like we talked about years ago, or you guys talked about a lot with the Royals a few years back, it was time then, it's time now.
There you go. Dana, we appreciate the time as always, my man. Enjoy the game on Sunday, and we'll be talking about a possible Super Bowl trip with you on Tuesday morning.
Sounds good, guys. All right.
Take care. Dana Hughes brought to you by Mazarees Jewelry. Jewelry that's dazzled Kansas City for over 40 years.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.